This is one of the greatest songs you've ever heard, folks. I'm Bo Mitchell. This is You Get the Blessing. And this is John Fogerty in center field. There's new grass on the field. It's almost spring training. Wake up, everybody, and welcome to our program today. You Get the Blessing. Listen to that song till its completion, but we're going to shut that off for now. Welcome to You Get the Blessing. My co-host Bob Belts is not with me today. I'm Bo Mitchell, like I said, your host. At the start of the program today, I want to mention that March 1st is a release date for a book that my wife and I have written called Grace Behind Bars, subtitle An Unexpected Path to True Freedom. And it talks about our lives and something that happened to me 25 years ago that required me to go into federal prison. It mostly talks about the forgiving power of Jesus Christ and how he strengthened us through those dark days and brought us closer together as a couple and as a family. Mostly how he taught me about ego, pride, self-effort, and an independent streak, and how when you're a bonehead like me, sometimes God allows something like federal prison to come in your life. And if you feel like you're in a prison in your own life today, could be an addiction, a debt problem, a problem in your marriage, it could be anything, phone call from your doctor, then this book hopefully will encourage you and give you specifics as to how you can get out of your own prison and live free in Christ. So you can pre-order it at Amazon.com. I don't really care about selling books as much as I care about encouraging people. So I hope Grace Behind Bars, our book, does both. We're honored today to have as our guest in studio, Seth Olson. Seth, welcome.
Thank you very much. Great to be here.
Glad you're here. Seth's a former football star. This says American football guard. Did you write this, Clippy? Wow. He's a football star that played in the National Football League. Played college ball at Iowa. He was drafted by the Broncos in the fourth round of 2009 in the NFL draft. He's also a member of the Vikings and the Indianapolis Colts. Now he's a part of an organization that really helped me so much, especially through college, Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And Seth, I'm just glad to have you on the program. We'll get to some of your football days and what you're doing now, but first just tell me about your background. Where were you raised?
I appreciate that intro. I don't think anybody other than my family thinks I'm a football star. So,
hey, you know what? Mark Randall always apologizes to me, a local guy that played with the Denver Nuggets, Chicago Bulls. He's always apologizing that he only played 5 years in the NBA. I'm like, Mark, come on, mister. You know how many people have the athletic skill to ever play college, much less pro ball? So you're a star to me.
I appreciate that.
That's a good life. So what was it like around your house growing up?
Grew up in a Christian home, mom and dad. Really spent a lot of time with us as kids. I think now, you know, when I got to middle school, seeing, you know, how different families would celebrate Mother's and Father's Day, we always celebrated it together. Whatever mom or dad wanted to do, we did together. And so we really spent a lot of time together as a family growing up, going on, you know, trips. We grew up in Minnesota early on as a kid, so those trips to the lake or making a big vacation up to Canada in the summer. We spent a lot of time together as a family.
And how did faith become part of your life?
I kind of grew up in that Christian home environment, going to church with my family, but I reached a certain point in high school when I felt like I didn't need that anymore, and so I kind of walked away and did my own thing for several years. And then a teammate invited me back to church my senior year. I'd already committed and signed my letter of intent to go to the University of Iowa. But a teammate invited me to go to church, and kind of Christ gripped my life that night, and I surrendered over to him. But really, it took 6 years for me to really come to grips with what it means to follow Christ and for him to, my faith to really come alive right before I became a dad. That's what really triggered for me.
Stayed out of the headlines, but yeah, kind of bounced back and forth.
Yeah, I probably looked good in most people's eyes, but behind the scenes, maybe wasn't doing it the right way. And just, you know, right before I became a dad, December 2010, that was when my first child was born. And that's when God really got a grip of me and I really started to practice what I read in the scriptures.
So this is You Get the Blessing. I'm Bo Mitchell, your host today. My co-host, Bob Belts, is not with me today. He'll be back next week or two. Our guest is Seth Olson. Played in the National Football League, played college football at Iowa, is now an Fellowship of Christian Athletes rep in South Metro Denver. And he's describing his faith journey. And I would just say that what we present here on You Get the Blessing is that the Bible's pretty clear. There's a core of truth that says we can have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, but at some point we have to make a decision to receive Christ not only as Savior, but as Lord of our lives. And that is usually a decision made at what's called an age of accountability. So if you're listening today and that confuses you, don't be confused. It's easy. Just go read the third chapter of John. You're not the first person to think it's confusing or complicated, but it's actually very simple. The core of truth that God loves us and wants to have a relationship with us is in there. Sometimes it's hard to find because of all the chapters that don't talk about that, but the Bible is an incredible, in fact, the only source of life-changing information, and I'm glad, Seth, that you got to the point, just like all of us, at some point where you say, okay, this is what makes the most sense. So you have how many kids now, and what's your wife's name?
We have three kids. My wife's name is Christy. We have three kids, ages 6, 3, and 1. So one in school, the other two being crazy at home, so.
You got a busy life. Tell me a little about, before we go into what you're doing now, what was it like, college football, pro football? Was that like a dream fulfilled for you?
Really, college football was. It just, you know, as a high school athlete, my God in high school was football. It was performance. And that was my idol. That's what I pursued after to get a scholarship.
You're going to like our book, by the way.
Yeah.
Talks about that a lot.
Yeah. So my identity was all about performance, and once you know about when you make your identity performance, eventually it's going to let you down. And for me in high school, and unfortunately in high school, we were really good in football. We were 36-2. This is in Omaha, Nebraska, and
you were killing people.
So we were doing really good. So, you know, we won a state championship my senior year, and that's when I realized, man, I'm still feeling this void. And you know, from 2004 to 2010, that's, you really hit the nail on the head there. I felt like I made Jesus my Savior, but I didn't make him my Lord over my life. And so that's a big part of my story. You really, really speaking to me when you say that. He's not just Savior, he's Lord. He's got to be both.
Amen. So did you enjoy your years in college and pro football?
I did. I loved my time, especially in college. That time that you're with that same team for 5 years, you know, if you remember back to when you're in college, hopefully you had this good experience with your college roommates. Not everybody does, but
I did.
My college roommate was my best friend, best man at my wedding. Just spent a lot of time together. And so
another lineman like you,
he was a tight end, you know, but give him a pat, you know, he's like he's a faux offensive lineman.
What was your weight when you were your heaviest?
310.
310 is where you play that.
Yep.
You better be big
and strong. I've lost both of those attributes now, but
that's cool that you've lost 75 pounds, but you still look great.
Yeah, so college was a great experience, just that team environment and really spending a lot of time with the guys on the team. And it's different in the NFL, you know, it's kind of a moving target. My first 3 years in the league, I was with three different teams, so it's kind of hard to build those same kind of deep friendships, relationships. But obviously, you're still spending a lot of time together. You're with each other, you know, 10 hours a day, 6 days a week, so still a lot of intentional time together, but quite a different feel than college, where you're with each other you're going to be with each other for 5 years, you know?
There's something about that. I played both basketball and baseball at the University of Colorado, and then 2 years of minor league baseball with the St. Louis Cardinals was not good enough to make the major leagues in baseball. Fact was not even close. But that college experience is something. And when after I quit professional baseball and went to work for the University of Colorado in their athletic department, I remember one of the reasons I did it was the mentor I had in college was still there as a coach. His name was Dan Stavely, and he was FCA National, a Fellowship of Christian Athletes National Man of the Year 1 year. But in college, Coach Stavely and the Fellowship of Christian Athletes ministry is really kind of what kept me barely from blowing off the tracks completely, because I was pushing it pretty hard all directions. But Coach Stavely would have us, a bunch of us athletes, almost every Sunday morning lined up to go speak somewhere, and I became one of his core guys. So
awesome.
Saturday nights, you know, 10:30 or 11, I'd think, well, I need to go this way, things get crazier, and I'm shot tomorrow and disappoint Coach, or I better get home and get some rest because Coach is picking me up at 8 o'clock.
That's that age of accountability you were talking about, huh?
Absolutely. And Coach Stavely really did that for us. So I'm very glad to hear you're part of FCA now. It's just a great ministry, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I didn't have a big background with it growing up. I was involved with Athletes in Action in college, which is a very similar ministry. But I actually didn't even realize until I'd come to work for FCA. Looking back, I spoke at an FCA breakfast in college.
You did?
My senior year at the Outback Bowl. So that was, I guess, my first FCA exposure. But, you know, I feel like everybody has a platform, like you have a platform here on the radio, or anybody listening, you know, whether you, you're a stay-at-home mom or you're a business owner, everybody has a platform. And that NFL platform is pretty unique. And so it afforded me a lot of opportunities to speak. And a lot of that came through FCA. So that's been really my main connection with FCA, speaking to different groups.
So the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, you know, Coach Stavely would introduce me sometimes and say, Bo's fairly new Christian. He's not much of an athlete, but he's part of our group. So let's bring him up. But it's kind of just targets athletes and helps guys come into a relationship with Christ, and then helps develop and nurture that relationship to, at some point, maturity and growth. But in your area, as a South Metro Denver rep, what's a day look like for you? How many groups do you have meeting? How many kids are you impacting?
So we have 31 high schools and a college in the South Metro area of Denver. And we have middle schools, and we have some huddles meeting there, but our really bullseye is with those high schools and colleges. And
so your Bible studies you call huddles?
Yeah, we call it, yeah. You know, athletes, we just love the lingo, you know. We can't okay. really get out of it.
Right.
I left football and I went right into this. It's just the same lingo, so it works well for me. But yeah, so our Bible studies, really what makes us allowed to do what we do on a public school is students lead these huddles, lead these Bible studies on campus. And then a coach comes alongside as the club sponsor, just like any other club, school club. And they work together to put on this huddle, this weekly meeting for people to become and be encouraged, like you said, be encouraged in your faith and learn about Jesus and who he is and hear the gospel every week. And I think it's really powerful when we have the chance to share the gospel on a public school campus each and every week. And it's a great opportunity. And really, like you said, it's selfishly, it's kind of like for me, like I had a teammate who invited me to go to church with him, you know, that FCA model. And really, it's my desire that every coach and athlete would understand their true identity in Jesus and the unique purpose that he has for them, because he's placed us all here for a reason. And it's fun to find out why he put you here.
Amen. Amen. So this is You Get the Blessing. I'm Bo Mitchell. My guest you're hearing from there is Seth Olson, former NFL football player, played at Iowa, played with the Broncos a little while. Now he's the FCA rep in South Denver. And I like to say it's exciting for me to think that the God we serve through Christ is a God of the miraculous, but he's also a God of logic and order. And it's just interesting that so many times guys minister in their adult lives as an extension of what they did when they were younger. So it's really cool that you were so successful, high school, college, pro ball, And now you can stand before these kids aspiring to do what you did with your life and say, you know, that's one part of it. Compete, work hard, be prepared, do your best. But there's a balance here. God gave you the talent. Acknowledge where the talent came from and teach the more meaningful things in life than just beating the tar out of Oklahoma or Nebraska.
Yeah,
so it's good what God's got you doing.
It is. One of the greatest things I learned, I went to a camp in college where I learned that you could worship God through your sport, and that completely blew me away. Like I said, I grew up in the church, so I thought you could only worship God by singing songs, which to me really sounds silly now that I thought that, but that's what I thought. But to learn that, I can worship God by going out on a football field and doing my best and give him the glory, that meant the world to me. And so that's one thing I really love to pass on to student athletes now, is that every time you step into the swimming pool to swim some laps, or you sit on the volleyball court or the football field, you have the chance to worship God, worship the God Almighty with the gifts that he's given you. And I think that's a powerful opportunity to worship him.
Well put. I believe it strongly. In fact, for 20 years, I was the volunteer chaplain for the Denver Nuggets. And now I'm chaplain for the Colorado Rockies. And I told the Nuggets players at least every week, and I tell the Rockies now, that, you know, God's done an act in your life by giving you this ability to play sports at this level. Could be any level. Now give a gift back to him by what you do with this. So one of my favorite stories along that same lines is Randy Gratishar, who was an all-pro linebacker here. I believe Woody Hayes said Randy Gratishar is the best linebacker in Ohio State history. But he was great when he played for the Broncos and a great guy, good friend of mine. And I believe he was playing in Cleveland when he really came to this profound realization that Galatians 2:20, I'm dead in Christ. This life I now live is Christ living in and through me. And kind of said to his coach, I can't be a linebacker anymore. I don't want to go clobber people. And the coach is like, Randy, it's Saturday night. We got a game in the morning. So they talked through, and Randy kept playing for a bigger purpose. Colossians 3, work heartily as unto the Lord, not just for your earthly masters. But that's great. You're imparting that wisdom to these kids.
Yeah. I mean, you said it. You said it best. You work at it with everything you have, working for the Lord, not for men. And so I coach offensive linemen at Chaparral High School, and I tell them, hey, anytime you put your man in the dirt, that's an opportunity to glorify God. You know, if you're worshiping Christ, then that's the opportunity you have to glorify God. It's by putting a pancake on, then that's how you do it.
So guys like us see no conflict between being God's man and being the fastest, strongest, best prepared athlete or minister or businessman or dad or husband. There's no conflict there. Go for it. The conflict happens when you get this out of balance. And a lot of people, including me, as I tell the story in Grace Behind Bars, this new book we've written, I started thinking I was the one doing it.
Yeah.
And it's very easy to drift off that path and think, this is about me, this is about what's coming my way, what I'm doing to contribute to this team win or whatever. It happens, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, that 6 years I mentioned from 2004 to 2010, that's a good way that you put it. I mean, it really makes things in flux and hard to balance when you're not, you know, placing Christ at both as Lord and Savior. When you put him in his proper place as Lord and Savior of your life, everything takes care of itself. But when you try and say, I'm going to do this for him and then I'm going to do this for me, there's a big divide. And it's not easy. And we're not saying it's easy to figure that out. But then again, it is. It's just about surrender. And that's probably one of the hardest things to do, is to surrender.
Amen. So if you ask somebody, you know, what do you like about the Broncos Stadium or about Coors Field, let's say, people would say typically, you know, I like, there's not a bad seat in the building, and I like all of the food service areas, or I like the beautiful green grass when I walk in the stadium. It's just great, or whatever. It would go on, and no one would ever say, what I really like here is that the architects and the engineers built this on a solid foundation. And there's nothing more important in a structure like that, much more importantly in our lives, than the foundation we build on. And that's what you guys are teaching in the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, is let's get this foundation straight, and you're trying to reach kids at a young age to do it.
Yeah, and the way that we try and do that is through the coaches. The coaches are one of the most powerful influences in a kid's life. They say that the average coach will impact more. It was actually Billy Graham that said this. The average coach will impact more people in a season than the average person will in a lifetime.
Really?
Just in one season.
I've never heard that quote, but I believe it.
Yeah, so it's a powerful opportunity that a coach has, you know, but that impact can go both ways. You know, I've had some bad coaches in my day and some great coaches. So you know the impact, it can be positive or negative, but that's the thing we really try and influence and impact the coaches to have that impact. Like, I just came from Cherokee Trail High School. I buzzed over here on 470 from Cherokee Trail meeting with the head strength coach who's our FCA guy there. And, you know, he has the opportunity to be with all the student athletes at that pretty large high school there in Aurora. And just the impact that he has on speaking truth into their lives is a great opportunity.
So it's interesting, but my high school coach in basketball is named Gaston Santee. He's in the Hall of Fame at Thomas Jefferson High School here. And he passed away a few years ago at age 95, but had just that kind of impact on my life. And he really believed in me, and because of his belief in me, built my confidence, and I became a good player. Well, I would take Coach Santee to Nuggets Chapel services.
Oh, that's sweet.
And I'd say, Coach, you know, and both in basketball, both teams meet the same chapel.
Oh, really?
Yeah, before every game, not just Sundays. And I'd say, Coach Sandy, tell these guys about me as a high school player. And he had this very funny voice. He'd say, you were the greatest shooter I ever saw. And I could see the faces of my players would be like, well, why is Bo showing such a big ego here and having this guy brag on him? And then I would say, now tell him what we did together, Coach. I only won one championship in 50 years, and it was because of you. And then, again, I'd see the guy's face is like, what a jerk Bo is. And then I'd get to my point. I'd say, well, what about me on defense? And with no rehearsal, this elderly wizard of a guy would say, you weren't very good. Say, how about rebounding? Never saw you get one. But the point I was trying to make with the team, which I'd eventually get to, was he believed in me, and it made me better.
Yeah.
I was better in high school than I was in college at Colorado. And if we could ever catch a glimpse of how much God believes in us, we would be better. We'd be better dads and husbands and friends and businessmen and do you agree with that?
I do. I try and teach my kids this, you know, that, hey, God loves you more than I ever could. And that might sound bad as a parent to say, but I mean, that's how infinite his love is for us. And it's just right along the same lines with what you just said.
Amen. So are there ways listeners can get involved and help you out, Seth?
Yeah, there's definitely ways to get involved. You know, I think one of our greatest opportunities, you mentioned, like, what do I do every day? One of my meetings this morning, I met with a club volleyball coach, and I think that's one of our greatest opportunities to get involved, because, I mean, if you look at youth sports, most kids, you know, there might be a lot of kids competing on a high school campus, but if you look at youth sports, it's the numbers different, completely different. Like 57 million, 18 and under, play youth sports, 7 million on campus, 50 million off campus.
Is that right?
The numbers are huge for, I mean, you think about it, football is the only sport where high school football is still king on campus. Every other sport, they play club volleyball or club softball, and they might only play that one sport. It's a season-long thing. And so we really love to get on to get involved with the club teams and the tournament teams and really kind of carry the same torch that we like to with a high school campus, you know, getting students in a leadership role and getting a coach to come alongside them. So you know, there's a great opportunity for those of you listening. If your kid's not in youth sports, I guarantee you know someone who is. I mean, it's that big nowadays. And so just keep your ear up for opportunities to turn our way, you know, and you can visit ColoradoFCA.org to, or FCAColorado.org to find out more about what we're doing and to get connected with us better.
FCAColorado.org. Seth Olson, you're a great guy. I'm glad you had all these other careers as a football player in college and pro ball, but I like what you're doing now better.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks for being on the program. And give that address once more, FCA Colorado.
I probably said it even wrong. It's probably ColoradoFCA.org.
Okay, ColoradoFCA.org. My granddaughter, Mackenzie Larson, loves playing club volleyball.
Oh, awesome.
She's on Team United, and I love supporting what she does because she says, I play volleyball because it's fun. Now, she played at her school team in Arapahoe, but you're right. I didn't know it was that many millions, but you've been a great guest, and keep up the good work.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks for your time.
Thanks for being with us today, listeners, and we'll see you again next week on You Get the Blessing.